In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was God.
He was with God.
In the beginning.
Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing, nothing.
Not one thing.
Nothing was made that has been made.
In Him was life.
What came into existence was life.
And that life was the light of men.
And the life was light to live by.
The life light blazed out of the darkness. But the darkness...
Darkness.
Darkness has not understood it.
And the darkness couldn't put it out.
The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us.
We have seen His glory.
The glory of the one and only.
Who came from the Father.
Full of grace and truth. Now this was John's testimony. I am not the Christ. They asked him.
Are you Elijah?
I am not.
Are you the prophet?
No.
Who are you?
I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way of the Lord.
Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him.
Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ?
Nor Elijah.
Nor the prophet.
I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one whose thongs of the sandals I am not worthy to untie.
The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward them and said,
Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, One who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. I see and I testify that this is the Son of God.
The hand of the Lord was upon me.
And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley.
It was full of bones.
He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me,
Son of man, can these bones live?
I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me,
Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life.
I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin.
I will put breath in you,
and you will come to life.
Then you will know that I am the Lord.
So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise.
A rattling sound.
And the bones came together.
Bone to bone.
I looked and the tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them.
But there was no breath in them.
Then he said to me,
Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy and say, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into the slain that they may live.
So I prophesied as he commanded me.
And breath entered them.
They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army.
Then he said to me,
Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Therefore prophesy and say to them,
O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel.
Then you, my people, will know that I
am the Lord.
Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it.
Arise,
shine,
for your light has come.
And the glory of the Lord dwells upon you.
See, darkness.
Darkness.
Darkness covers the earth.
And thick darkness.
Darkness.
Darkness is over the peoples.
But the Lord rises upon you.
And his glory appears over you.
Nations will come to your light.
And kings to the brightness of your dawn.
Lift up your eyes and look about you.
All assemble and come to you.
Then you will look and be radiant.
Your heart will throb
and swell
with joy.
Although you have been forsaken
and hated,
I will make you the everlasting pride,
the joy of all generations.
Then you will know that I,
the Lord,
am your Savior,
your Redeemer,
the Mighty One of Jacob.
I will make peace your governor
and righteousness your ruler.
The sun will no more be your light by day.
Nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you.
For the Lord will be your everlasting.
Everlasting.
Everlasting light.
And your God will be your glory.
The Lord will be your everlasting.
Everlasting.
Everlasting light.
And your days of sorrow will end.
Will end.
Will end.
I am the Lord.
I am so excited to be here this morning and have the privilege of introducing you to our chapel speaker. Grace Marshall is a sociology major from Mishawaka, Indiana, and she is a member of the consecrated class. Grace is affectionately known to some of us as Barb, and most recently as Grace Kelly. Up until this year, I didn't really know much about Grace other than the fact that she has red hair and she walks around barefoot most of the time. But this semester, Grace and I both became new residents of Kresge Lower East. And so over the past couple of months, I've really had the opportunity to get to know her. And it's just been so awesome just to see what a great person she is. And overall, just what a genuine person she is and how she just authentically loves the Lord and just strives to just grow closer to him every day and show that in the way that she lives her life. Most of us who know Grace know that last semester she wasn't at Asbury. She spent the spring term in L.A., and she wanted me to emphasize the fact that she was not there for a film program. That's a common misconception. But she was there with Azusa Pacific's University Urban Immersion Program, and she just had some opportunities to experience urban ministry and serve in an urban environment. And those of us who know Grace and have been able to spend time with her this semester know that it had a huge impact on her life, and it is continuing to affect the way that she lives each day and the way that she reaches out to those around her. And this morning, Grace is going to share a little bit about that experience and how that is just impacting her life. And so I just encourage you all to open your hearts to what the Lord has to speak to you today about through Grace. And just please join me in welcoming my friend Grace Marshall.
Well, good morning, friends. Wow. Spirit is just here today, and that's awesome. I do want to say a special word to my family who couldn't be here today and are pretty bummed about that, but I know they'll be listening to the podcast, so I love you guys, and I appreciate your influence and encouragement in my life. As Becky did say, I spent last semester in Los Angeles and went through Azusa Pacific University, but wasn't really at Azusa. I was through Azusa's Urban Immersion Program called LA Term. And it's basically where I was with 11 other students, and we lived with host families throughout the city, interned at mainly non-for-profit organizations throughout the city, and took classes together, four different classes, subjected around common urban issues in many cities, and we used LA kind of as our viewing hole for those issues. Issues like immigration, poverty, community organization and social change, religion, crime, education, and the like. Now, when most people think about LA, like I did before I went out there, they associate it with places like Hollywood, celebrities, the beach, movies, Beverly Hills, movie stars, movie makers, and the rich kids off of the hills, Laguna Beach, and the OC. But the places where I spent were stark difference. This is what the media shows. But the media doesn't really focus on places like Skid Row, the Brzee Foundation, downtown at 5th and Hill Street, Lafayette Park, or Koreatown. And the media doesn't really shed light on issues like poverty, homelessness, immigration, and public transportation in LA. But these were the issues that laid heavy on my heart and the hearts of the 11 other students in the program. As we wrestled with these issues in our classes, in our homes, in our internships, and in our everyday experiences. You see, something happened to me while I was out in LA. It's like I knew about these issues in my mind, but it wasn't until I experienced them every day, and as I learned about them, that there began this fusion with my mind and my heart, and there grew a passion for these issues in my heart. This describes my third conversion. My first conversion being a conversion to truth through my relationship with Jesus. And the second conversion was a conversion to missions with a call to urban ministry. But this third conversion was a conversion to social justice. Now, social justice is a term that's used in religious, mainstream, and secular circles. But I feel like it kind of gets distorted. People thinking it's about a bunch of hippie activists charging down on issues and throwing them in society's faces. But social justice is more than just issues. It's about people and the issues. And it's more than just statistics, but it's about using ordinary radical Shane Claiborne's term, statistics with faces. Social justice is a very religious and spiritual theme. You see it scattered throughout scriptures. Like in Isaiah 58, where it says, where the Lord calls for fasting that looses the chains of injustice, sets the oppressed free, and feeds the hungry. Or Proverbs 3:27, which says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it, when it is in your power to act. You see social justice in the lives of Amos, Zechariah, Nehemiah, Ezekiel, the Psalms and Proverbs, the Apostle Paul, the disciples, and the life of our Jesus. Social justice is scattered throughout scriptures. But it's not just about meeting the spiritual needs. It's also about coming alongside and tending to the emotional, physical, mental, and social needs of people. Social justice, to me, is finding that the heart of God beats for people, and then allowing my heart to come alongside and for my actions to portray that. In LA, I encountered the God, our God, who delights in kindness, justice, and righteousness, as it says in Jeremiah 9. My heart began to beat a little more in time, a little more rhythm with the heart of our God. My heart began to be a little stronger for people. And I'd like to take a chance to tell you about some of these people that I encountered out in LA. The group that I probably spent the most time with were my friends and fellow LA termers. Probably one of the most diverse groups that I've ever encountered. It was composed of individuals from Kentucky, Indiana, California, New York, Washington, St. Louis, Missouri, and Chile, South America. With majors ranging from sociology to business, to journalism, to social work, to global studies. We were all so different and had different insights and experiences to bring to the table. And it didn't take long for me to realize that apart from the circumstances, that these were the only peers that I had in such a huge city, that I probably wouldn't have chosen to hang out with most of them. But the beauty of it is that I loved their company, loved getting to know them. They grew to be like a family to me. I loved our class environments. I loved how we were able to grow together and challenge each other, to pour our heart out as we had frustrations and joys throughout the semester. It was a beautiful reminder of me of what community, Christian community, really looks like. That though we were so different, we had at least two things in common: a love for Jesus and a desire for justice. The second group that I spent a lot of time with were those at the Brzee Foundation. It's an after-school program for kids where I interned 2 days a week throughout the entire semester. And not only did I get to interact with the students, but a very diverse staff who I grew to appreciate, respect, and enjoy. Outside of my tasks of like small research and fundraising projects, I just got to hang out with the kids, go to beach trips with them, help them with their homework. I led a guitar workshop for them, met with individuals one-on-one for tutoring, and just get to hang out and play games with them like Guitar Hero, which they totally schooled me in. The thing about these kids, though, is that they're growing up in an entirely different environment than I did. They're in schools that struggle to meet their needs, in neighborhoods that pose the risk of gang activities and drugs, and they come from homes that speak an entirely different language. I really had trouble. I struggled to relate to them, and I doubted my influence on them. But the Lord didn't give up. He kept pushing me, encouraging me just to love them for who they were, and He gave me a love for them that I didn't quite expect. And their faces are still so evident in my mind. Probably the most impacting and my favorite experience to tell of is my relationship with my friend Eddie. Eddie was a middle-aged African-American who resided at 5th and Hill Street in downtown L.A. And he had this most gentle smile and these eyes that you could just peer into. And probably one of the sweetest men that I've ever known. Did I mention that Eddie's homeless? Eddie's the kind of homeless guy that you want to get to know, as he smiles at everybody walking by, saying hey, revealing his stained teeth. Most of them business people, some not even taking the time to glance at him. Though there were a lot who knew Eddie by name and would provide for his needs. There'd be times that I'd go to visit Eddie expecting to buy him a meal, and he'd already eaten. Somebody already took care of him. But I didn't mind providing for Eddie's basic needs, if it was a toothbrush or deodorant or food or a new pair of shoes. There were definitely times that I'd just plop down on the sidewalk with him, share a meal, and catch the glance of those staring at this college girl just hanging out with this homeless guy in downtown L.A. And there's no joy like seeing his face light up when you hand him a brand new pair of shoes, a pair of shoes that when he talked about earlier, he said, if you give me these shoes, I'll dance at your wedding and I'll punch your boyfriend if he doesn't marry you. That's Eddie. My brother was able to come and visit me out in L.A., and he came with me to give these shoes to Eddie. And while we were leaving, he said, it's got to be one of the coolest things that I've ever done. Eddie is constantly in my heart and in my prayers. You see, when I stare into the eyes of a homeless man week after week, I get a little focused on bigger things. When I go to places like Skid Row, where there's fleets of homeless people just scattered on the streets, my outlook on the world gets a little messed up. When I go into a sweatshop and see immigrants making brand name clothes for less than the living wage in order that we can get a materialistic fix. When I go to the U.S. and Mexico border and see crosses lining a wall signifying those who have lost their lives seeking freedom. When I hang out with kids who are in an after-school program in order to stay out of gangs. And when I spend time with my friends and my peers who are constantly asking why and searching for hope in this city. When the Lord grabs me by my heartstrings, rips me out of my comfort zone, and causes me to realize that all I need is Him, I get a little more focused. And in turn, I'm compelled to get out. Not only to get out of my comfort zone or to get out and learn more, but to literally get out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Part of the getting out was coming back home. And I struggled leaving behind LA, leaving behind my experience, and knowing the potential that I had in coming back. But I felt the Lord commissioning me to come back to the Midwest, to Asbury, Kentucky, Indiana, and my family, and be a light. As the semester was wrapping up, I was left with one question. What now, God? And He answered this question through Micah 6:8, which says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. I didn't expect to come back and be Miss Social Justice here to smash all adversities and injustices that come my way. But I knew that my lifestyle had to be different. My priorities had to be rearranged. And my focus had to be continually refocused. I knew that I had to come back and live a different life. And more recently, that is acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God means that I try to drink exclusively fair trade coffee, buy only what I know is sweatshop free. Or thrift, hang out with the homeless people in Lexington, get others like the girls in my hall involved in what I call Project Eddie, Adopt a Homeless Man, where we send care packages to Eddie through my friends left out in LA. And it means that I share my heart humbly with others, encouraging them into a place of discomfort. And it means that I continually seek the Lord's guidance. Because getting focused and getting out is a cyclical process. It needs to be continuing to happen. And as I look through scriptures, I take them a little more seriously. I'd like to end with a humbling conversation that I had with a four-year-old little girl. I was sitting with my niece, Hannah, and we were looking through the book called Displaced Reflections. And it's about stories, and it shows pictures of people in Myanmar or Burma, and we got to a page where it shows a picture of a man with half a leg all wrapped up, and she was asking me about it. And so I told her about landmines and kind of what happens. And she stopped and she thought, and she was like, I think we should help them. I said, that's a very good idea, Hannah. What do you think we should do? She said, well, we can get in a car and we can drive to the ocean and then we can get in a boat. We may have to build a boat. And we can take some food to them and we can save them and we can save them and we can save them. I was just floored because this four-year-old gets it. She gets the vision. And I was reminded of what it means to have such childlike faith. So what I want to ask you, questions that I'm continually asking myself, is what is stifling your childlike vision? What is getting in the way of the Lord focusing your heart? What is getting in the way of you getting out and being the hands and feet of Jesus? What does Micah 6:8 look like to you? To quote a band, Future Forestry, I want to charge us with this. May we go where glory meets the crude and weak. May we go where mercy meets the shame. May we be strength that will find the small and meek. May we go where magic meets mundane. And may we go where grace and healing love restores. May you allow the Lord to focus your heart, and may it compel you to get out, to search for the bigger things in life and be changed by it. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are a God of people, that you take in those whose society refuses. May you compel us to be your hands and feet, Jesus. May we see the bigger vision, God. May you break our heart for what breaks yours. May we be about extending the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. God, may you continually take us out of our comfort zone. May you stretch us. May you grow us. And may we go from here, Lord, just being your hands and feet, Jesus. We give you all the praise and the glory and just ask that you would just continue to change us. Get us serious about the scriptures. Get us serious about what you have said. You're such an awesome God, and we praise you for that. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.